this world can come between us. He's separable. Hey.
In my
soul.
Feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Strongholds are breaking. Yokes are being destroyed. Burdens are being removed by the authority of the Word of God. Hello, I'm Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I'd like to invite you to our annual Word Explosion beginning September 8th through the 11th. This conference is designed to strengthen you, empower you, equip you, and bless you by focusing on the life-changing power of the Word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. We're going to saturate ourselves for 4 days and nights in the Word of God and see God perform His Word with signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. This will be 4 days of power, 4 days of revelation, 4 days of healing, 4 days of building our faith in the Word of God. Our special guest ministers are Reverend Greg Green from Baton Rouge, Reverend Larry Brown from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and Pastor Robert Little from New Orleans. These ministers will bring a fresh revelation of God's Word with power and demonstration. You don't want to miss these life-changing meetings as we allow God to speak to us from His Word. Service times are Thursday through Saturday at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. nightly, and on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Everyone is invited. You don't want to miss this explosion. And now to attend the Word Explosion beginning September 8th through the 11th at the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. The Word Christian Center is located at 4701 Lee Street, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive. For more information, call 318-442-8100 or visit our website at thewordcc.com. Get ready for an explosion of... I look forward to seeing you there, and may God richly bless you. The Word Christian Center is a proud underwriting sponsor of KAYT. Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Glory to God. Well, you know, there comes a time when you have more questions then you have answers. How many of you ever been there? You got more questions than you got answers. This is what I believe the Holy Spirit has given to me to share with you tonight, is that when you have more questions than you have answers, the thing you start focusing on is what you do know. Focus on what you know. Amen. Don't focus on what you don't know. Don't focus on what you don't understand. Focus on what you do understand. Praise God. Now, I know that God loves me. Say it.
I know that God loves me.
Now, I'm going to tell you, God love him some Greg Tejada. Now, say that about yourself. Now, say it with some meaning from your heart. Do you know that?
Yes.
You got to know. You focus on what you do know. I know that God loves us. I know God loves us with a passion. I know that God didn't withhold 1 ounce of love. There's no love for you in reserve. He didn't hold back anything. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So I know, Paul said, I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. So when you don't know a lot of things, or you got more questions than you got answers, you don't spend all your time trying to figure out what the answer is. You just start focusing on what you do know. Focus on what you know. I know I'm fully persuaded. When we're talking about knowing something, we're talking about fully persuaded. We're talking about confident. We're talking about without a doubt. Amen. Totally convinced. I'm totally convinced that God loves me. I'm totally convinced that God loves you. Hallelujah. I know that, so I'm going to focus on the love of God. I know God loves me no matter what happened. No matter if things don't turn out like I want them, I do know he still loves me. That his love for me and for you is not based on our circumstances. It's not based on what we don't understand. He loves us. If I don't never understand one more thing, I'm convinced that God loves us and he loves me. Go ahead and say it in. God love him some. You need to tell you that every day. The Bible says we have known and believed the love that God has for us. You got to know it, and you got to have faith in it. Amen. That when you are living for God, all things work together for good, whether you understand it or not, to those who are called according to his purpose. All things working together. So you got to know that when you are pursuing God's will and his plan for your life, you got to know that all things are working together for your good. Say it. Say all things are working together for my good. Say something good is going to come out of something bad. You got to know that. That I might not understand how God can take a tragedy and turn it into a triumph, but he specializes in just that. Hallelujah. Because he's an awesome God. Then I know that God is good. You got to know that he is good. I know God is good. So whenever I look at God, all I want to see is goodness. Amen? Because he is good. And the Bible says that he is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. I am his workmanship. You are his workmanship, and his goodness has been extended to you. In fact, the Bible says that you shall be met with the blessings of goodness. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Hallelujah. Thank God for goodness. The Bible says that we should rejoice in the goodness of God. When I don't know some things, I can know. When I don't understand some things, I can understand that God is good and that goodness is for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, God is good. Put your name in it.
God is good.
Say it again.
God is good to
me. Say it again.
God is good to
me. Now this time say, God is so good to
me.
God is so good to Greg Tejada.
God is so good to me.
I know he good. Amen. There's no darkness in him at all. There's no evil in him at all. He does not have one evil intention in him at all. He's 100% good. Amen. And I know God is gracious. I know he's gracious. And he crowns us with loving kindness, no matter what we're going through. The word gracious means disposed to do favors. It's just in God to want to bless you. It's just in him. Every opportunity he gets, he blesses us. He doesn't withhold blessing. In fact, the scripture says he would not withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. And the reason why the uprightly part is in there is because when you're not walking uprightly, you have repositioned yourself and you've given place to the devil or to your flesh. And blessing can't always reach over in the darkness like that. You can't have light and darkness. So you want to be walking uprightly because that positions you to receive from God. And besides that, that's what his word says. Whether I understand it or not, he said he would not withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. That means when a man's ways please the Lord, there's blessing coming to him and ain't nothing nobody can do about it. So I know God is gracious to me. God's done things for me that I didn't even ask. God has blessed me in ways that I couldn't even imagine. God's opened doors for me that I didn't even knock on. How many of y'all had that happen to you? You had some doors open, you didn't even knock on the door and the door opened. God's given me opportunities to do things that I never thought I'd have opportunity to do. I've been places I never thought I would ever go. He is gracious. And he loves us. And he is delighted to work in us. And you just got to let him work. Amen? You got to let him work. So I know that my God is good. I know he loves me. Amen? What are some things you know about him? All right, let me give you one more. He's a good father. Not just a good father, good father. Double good. Triple good. Amen. I know God is faithful. Focus on what you do know instead of what you don't know. If you focus all the time on what you don't know, you're just going to get confused. So to not give the devil place, just come back to your foundation and to your roots and say, let me just tell you what I do know. I know that God is faithful. Amen. He is true. He's trustworthy. Amen. He's dependable. He's reliable. He's sure. Amen. Glory to God. He just is true. You can believe him. He will not lie to you. I know that God will not lie to Greg Tejada. Say it. I know.
God will
not lie. Put your name in there. Say it again now. That means God's not going to deceive you. He ain't full of trickery. He's full of truth. It is truth, not trickery. He's full of truth, not trickery. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know God loves me. I know God is good. I know God is gracious. I know God is faithful. And I know God will not leave me. He said, I will not leave you. That's what his commitment is. I will never, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That means that you can know you will not be abandoned no matter how bad things get. He's going to be right there with you. He gave us his word. He said, I'll be with you in trouble. How many of you know he right there in the midnight hour? Glory to God. Paul and Silas got put in jail, didn't they? They got beat up, didn't they? For their faith in God. Right? Did God leave them? No, he didn't leave them. Guess what they decided to do? At midnight, the Bible says, Paul and Silas, Acts chapter 16. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and what? Sang praises. They prayed and they sang praises in the midnight hour. And God manifested his presence, didn't he? Earthquake came. And the earthquake didn't just come to tear up stuff. That earthquake came to loose their bonds. That earthquake came to set them free. That earthquake came because a man got saved in his whole household. And not just Paul and Silas, but God demonstrated his goodness to all the men there. They in jail for doing something wrong. Not Paul and Silas, but a lot of them people in jail, they're there because they deserve to be there. And God loosed their bonds, set them free. The presence of God was so strong in that prison that when all them prison doors flew open, did nobody leave. You know that's a miracle. People plotting on how to get out of there. You know you're in jail, you can think all day long, you think about how you can get out of there. Yeah, but then when the opportunity came, they couldn't leave because they were arrested by the presence of God. And the jailer came in, and he's trembling. Sirs, you know what's on his mind? What must I do to be saved? Oh, you got, man, you serve a God that what I got to do to get right with him? You know Paul and Silas didn't preach before they sang and prayed. That man took them out of jail, took them to his house, bandaged them up. Paul and Silas preached Christ to him. What do I have to do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved in your whole house. So his whole household got saved, and then to keep that man from getting in trouble, Paul and Silas went back to the jail so that the next morning when they came in, they was all there. They could have just took off right there and gone. No, they went back to the jail. Because they knew that they wasn't going to be abandoned by God. They understood that there was a power with them, a presence with them. The presence of God was with them, whether they felt him or not. The presence of God ain't based on a feeling. The presence of God is based on an inward knowing that you have. You just got to know he with me. I don't feel him right now. I don't care if you feel him or don't. He's still there because he gave his word. And he's faithful to his word. He cannot walk away from you. He have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. So say this here, God is always with me. Will I feel his presence or not? Now, if you get hung up on feeling, you're going to be like a yo-yo up and down. You'll be like on a roller coaster, peaks and valleys. Because you can't always feel his presence. He don't always make his presence known through your senses. But in your heart, you can know that he's with you just because he said he would be. Amen. Most of everybody that the Lord used in the Bible, he gave them his solid word. He made a solemn oath to them. I will be with you. When he called Moses going to Egypt, Moses said he tried to disqualify himself. I can't talk. I'm not qualified. I don't meet it. I don't meet the bill. And the Lord said, I'm going to be with you. When he sent Joshua into the promised land, he told Joshua, just like I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. He said, Joshua, I ain't going to let you down. So I know, that's another thing I know. That's another thing I know. He will not leave me. God spoke that to me so strong. Y'all know the story. One night he said, Greg, I will not abandon you. And I just received it. I just accepted that. I said, I wasn't sure that was him, because I'm standing there and I'm praying over people around the altar, praying for the pastor, praying for the people. And I heard that. I will not abandon you. And I turned to look. I thought somebody was standing there on the steps of the sound booth. Wasn't nobody there. So I asked the question. I said, what did you say? I asked again. He said, I said, I will not abandon you. And boy, I had that word. I went over those words in my head. Just thought about them for a second. Just thought, I will not abandon you. What does that mean? I said, was that me? Is that the Lord? I said, well, I'm thinking. I said, if that had been me, I would have used the word forsake. I wouldn't have used the word abandon. I said, this must be the Lord. Then I say, what does abandon mean? Abandon means to leave one, to leave. It means to leave one to his own means. It means to be left without aid or support. You abandon something, that means you walk away from it. You leave it without aid or support. And then when I understood that, I said, this is what he's telling me. He's not going to leave me without aid or support. He's not going to walk off from me. He's not going to leave me to fend for myself. I'm not going to be left alone. He going to be there supplying what I need. And then I said, okay. I got it. And it's like that word went from my soul, just dropped down into my heart. And I feel it. Thump! Got it. I said, I got it, Lord. I got it. I received it. I got it. And after that, I wouldn't even entertain the thought of being left alone. I would not even entertain the thought of not having enough. And peace came on me. That's what happened when you received the word. Peace come into your soul. Then I couldn't worry about nothing. Still didn't have no more answers than what I had when he said it. Still didn't know what I was going to do in the natural. I didn't have no more answers after that word than I had when I started. But I had a word from God that contained everything I needed. And when I received it, I received the peace, the wisdom, and everything just set in motion. It just set some stuff in motion in my life. And I believed, and I told CeCe, and she got in agreement with it. I said, CeCe, he said he wouldn't abandon us. And we believed it. You got to believe that he will not leave you. You just got to believe that. Say, God will not abandon you. Now, say it like you mean it now. Say, he won't leave me nor forsake me. He with me when I can't feel him. I have fellas that come by here from time to time. My heart go out to him. But I recognize that until he really believed the word, he going to be like a dog chasing his tail. Going around in circles. Because every time he come here, he in the same circle. I said, man, why don't you just believe what God told you? And guess what he tell me? But man, I just don't feel him. I just don't feel God. I should feel something. I just don't feel God. I'm supposed to feel something. And I tell him over and over, I say, look, faith is not a feeling. I said, man, why don't you just put your feet down and just believe that, you know, he doubting whether he's saved, doubting whether God love him, doubting whether God is with him, because he just don't have the feeling that he think he ought to have. I said, man, you're never going to grow. And you're never going to get anywhere until you believe. And then finally I just told him, I said, you know what? I said, you can talk to me and you go to all these pastors and you know, he got a circle he talked to. I said, you can talk. Nobody's going to be able to help you until you make a decision that you're going to believe what the Bible say. And then you quote, you start quoting the scripture and he finish it for you. It don't matter which one you start quoting, he finish it. I said, you got all this word in you, but you, I said, your problem is you don't believe nothing. You believe your circumstances and you believe your feelings and you have elevated your feelings above the word. I say, so you're going to always be in a wilderness until you put your feet down and say, I believe. And that's what I believe. And if don't nothing never happen, that's still going to be what I believe because that's what God's word say. Amen. How many of you got that? I know God will not leave me. I just know he won't. That means he will not abandon me as well. I will not leave you nor forsake you. That means he's not going to abandon you. That means that you're not going to have need of something that he refused to supply. But he wants you to trust him. And then the last thing I want to share with you before we get into word tonight. We ain't even got in there good yet. I know that God is my helper. You got to know that you have somebody helping you. Amen. That it's not by the might of my hand. It's not by my strength. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. So you got to know you got a helper. Amen. When things ain't going right, you got to say, you just got to cry out sometimes. I got a helper. I got somebody helping me. He promised to help. What is help? Help means to come in offer assistance. The help means to supply something that's lacking. So I got somebody who can always look into my life and say, he need this. Let's give it to him. Isn't that right? When you help somebody, that means you supply something that they don't have. Right? You say, well, I'm going to help you with that. That means that you're coming alongside them to offer aid and assistance. Right? You're going to help them get whatever needs to be done. I'm going to help you achieve that. I've got a helper. Go ahead and say it. I've got a helper. I have the helper of helpers. You see, the reason why God told you that he wasn't going to leave you nor forsake you, it was so you would have boldness and freedom. Because what is boldness? Boldness means freedom in speaking. It means to have liberty in decreeing and declaring a thing. Now, it means to be without fear and all that kind of stuff. To have boldness means without ambiguity. That means that you're not vague. It means without circumlocution. I ain't call your name. Circumlocution means using a lot of words to convey a simple thought. You know, it's like when you beat around the bush, go all around the bush five times, and you could have said what you need to say with one sentence.